awakening or enlightenment, which involves our seeing through or transcending the hoax of being a separate ego. And so a Buddhist does not have the same tendency that a Christian has to want to find out what his faith is by going back to the most original sources. There has always been a tendency in Christianity to ask, what did Jesus really teach? What is the pure New Testament, uncorrupted by theologians and by scribes who inserted things into the mouth of the master? It does not occur to Buddhists to have this attitude, because of this dialectic pattern. You see, when you have an acorn, if it's a lively acorn, it grows into an oak. And that's the way it should be. In other words, it should develop into something. And so Buddhism, as it has developed since the days of the Buddha, has gone a long way. It has become sometimes more complex, sometimes more simple. But it has changed radically because the seed which the Buddha planted was alive. Now, for example, when we ask, what are the Buddhist scriptures? You can get two answers to that question. In the Southern School, there is a set of scriptures which are written in the Pali language, divided into three sections, called the Tipitaka, which means the three baskets, because these palm leaf manuscripts on which the sutras were eventually written down were, of course, carried around in baskets. And three baskets of these palm leaf manuscript volumes comprise the Buddhist scriptures. But you must remember that in the evolution of these scriptures, that the Buddha wrote nothing, nor did his immediate disciples. That's a very important thing to remember, that all Indian scriptures were for many centuries handed down orally. And so we have no clear guide as to their dates. Because when you hand down an oral tradition, you are not always likely to preserve certain historical landmarks. Supposing we're talking about a certain king, and the name of this king will mark a historical point. But in an oral tradition,